Your reasons for listening to this show, well, those are your own. But just keep in mind that the views, information, or opinions expressed on the Tuttle Daily Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of our sponsors. Yeah, it's called free speech, people. Nobody's forcing you to listen.
Get ready for your daily dose of Tuttle.
The all-time greatest intern slash producer we've ever had, of course, Tuttle. Tuttle in Florida.
From the Hobo Fish Camp, it's the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
No wonder nobody likes you, Tuttle. Everything's a goddamn debate.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome back to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. I'm really, really excited about this next interview because I'm a big radio nerd. I worked with some of the biggest radio shows in Central Florida. I started out with Ron and Fez. Then I was over at Real Radio 104.1. And then I went to Tampa and I spent the last 10 years. I never had a chance to meet this guy, but I've never heard an ill will word about my next guest. And it's the one and only Mr. Rock Riley. Rock, how are you?
I am doing great, man. It's football season, so I'm doing good. You, Tuttle, how's things there in Central Florida?
Things are great. Things are amazing. I mean, I just been doing the hustling, man. You know, since I haven't been on terrestrial radio since end of 2019. So at the beginning of 2020, I was like, you know what? I got time. I set goals. I wanted to get into shape, which I'm in the best shape of my life right now, mentally and physically. And I wanted to start a podcast. You know, working in terrestrial radio, for the longest time, I was like, oh, podcasters are people that just can't do regular radio, you know.
Right,
What are your thoughts on that? Because radio has changed so much.
Oh, it's so changed. I mean, I'm doing two podcasts now, and I mean, it's just different. Times are different. Everybody is so busy on what they have, and we have everything at our fingertips on our phones.
On demand.
So, I mean, the thing is, like, and as you well have known, like, so many have podcasts. And the biggest thing is, number one, you got to have good content. As long as you have good content, boom, that's where to start. It's like building a home.
If you got to be consistent.
And you got to be consistent. And you got to spread the word. Like, you have to get known outside of those that already know you. That's the biggest thing that I'm finding out. Yeah, I got the people that know me and follow me in Tampa, but how do you get nationally? You know, you were on Bubba's show. You've been on Ron and Fez. So you got a little bit more of a national name. And at least you got that.
Dude, listen, I've heard, like, you know, I worked with Drew Garabo for a while and he had nothing but great things to say about you. You know, I want to get started at the beginning. All right. So I want to talk about your radio career before we get into sports and stuff. What made you get the passion to want to go into broadcasting? Because mine was, I was a big fan of the Ron and Ron show growing up in Florida. And when Ron and Fez came over to Daytona, I was like, all right, I'm going to go visit them. I'm going to apply for an internship just so I can hang out with my favorite radio personalities. And then I just fell in love with it. Right. Was there a radio person that, like, turned you on to it, or a broadcaster?
Yeah, basically. Now, I grew up in the New Jersey area, North Jersey, right outside of, well, not right outside of New York City, about an hour outside of New York City. So we got all the New York radio stations and we got all the
Fan.
The Fan. But this is even when I first started Tuttle. When I first started getting into it, that's when the Fan started. But I was watching local TV. Back in the day, people would be glued to the 6 and the 11 o'clock sports on news. Marv Albert, there was this Warner Wolf. He was very popular. And so I pitched in high school, like I know you pitched too.
Baseball's my first love, man. Like, right. I love it.
So I walked on at St. Leo. I'm from New Jersey. I came down to St. Leo, which was Division II, but good quality baseball. If you pitch, and I made it, but what I found out, Tuttle, is back up north, when you're pitching and you get to number 7, 8, 9 in the lineup, you can just blow fastballs right by everybody.
Yep.
You get up to college and I'm like, whoa, 7, 8. Now they're right on it. Oh. And then I was a realist. I'm like, okay, we would go to spring training games. We go to Joker marching in Lakeland. We'd see, you know, what was going on. And I would see these, you know, major league pitchers. And I'm like, all right, I'm a realist. I'm not going to make it to that level. What else could I do? What about sportscasting? That looks like fun. I don't want to work for a living. I want to have fun. And so I'm like, I want to do that. So that's really how it started. I was in a small radio station for 5 years doing news and sports in Northern New Jersey. Then I got my first TV gig. That was in upstate New York. And once I did that, I'm like, I know I can do that. I kind of have a knack for that. And then boom, 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 boom. And it really, it was TV. But radio was always that. I liked radio. Radio is a lot more fun. There's so much. There's so many other things that you got to do in TV for a small portion of time, where radio, man, it's just you and the listener, you know?
Have you, I don't know how much of a NASCAR fan you are. Have you ever had a chance to listen to the broadcasters on MRN, the Motor Racing Network?
Yes.
I always tell people, and they think I'm crazy when I say this, if you want to hear some of the best radio sports announcers, just listen to an MRN broadcast.
It is so good. They are so good. It's so good. I just, there's a guy out of Tampa. He was working at DAE. iHeart had the cutbacks, blah, blah, blah. And he was a huge NASCAR fan, producer, great, great young guy. I shouldn't say young. He's like, well, 30, maybe, you know, 30. And married, and he just got a job at MRN. They're out of the Carolinas. It might be.
Yeah,
Charlotte.
Well, they were in Volusia. You know, everything was in Volusia County. When I was married, my wife worked for NASCAR, and then you had the people that own NASCAR also owned ISC, which is the company that owns the tracks itself, and then they also have a part of MRN. You know, I was watching the Indianapolis road race they just had, and I really think they made a mistake, because they actually let some of the MRN guys, you know, call some of the race, because it's so spread out, and it's the it's night and day in the difference from the TV guys. Because in radio, you know, Ron Bennington told me, he's like, you in radio, you can never be too descriptive.
Right.
When you're calling something, the airwaves is your canvas, and you're the painter, and you got to paint the picture for them.
Right. No, you're exactly right, man. So, I mean, there's nothing like radio, and now podcasting, you know, now the podcasting, telling stories, you're good at it. You can keep on going. You're off the cuff. And, so at least, you know, you got a good base, Tuttle.
Well, I always wanted to be a sponge, not, you know, that's not a reference to Bubba the Love Sponge, but I wanted to be a sponge, and I learned because I worked with the Monsters in the Morning.
Yes.
I worked with Drew Garabo. I worked with Jim Phillips. I worked with Calta for a while. I worked with Drew again. I worked with Bubba on and off. And I picked up a little bit from all of those people and did that. But, you know, I I'm going to get into sports because I just want to talk about.
I'm all good, man. You know,
but, you know, a lot of people don't believe me when I say this. You would not think, going from the Orlando market to the Tampa market, that it would be that big of a difference, but it was. It really, really was. It was just the listeners were just a little bit more brutal, you know, like.
Could it be the shows? Sometimes it's different with the shows different and the listenership is different, you know?
No, I get it. I had to adapt to a different type of audience, you know? You wouldn't think that there would be that big of a difference because, I mean, Orlando and Tampa is not that far away.
Oh, and I'll tell you what, if you look at market size, I think Orlando might even have surpassed Miami. Like Orlando used to be considered almost medium market, but with the population exploding, in both Tampa Bay and Orlando. They've now leapfrogged. We've leapfrogged Miami.
But they include St. Pete though in that though, right? They always go Tampa at St. Pete.
Yeah. Definitely. Yep.
All right. So what is so baseball was definitely your first love of sports, correct?
Yeah. Now see, it's funny, Tuttle. I pitched from 7 years old all the way till 30, 31. And then constant. And then my wife at the time had breast cancer and she didn't make it. She was a couple years older than me. So I took 2 years off from pitching in baseball, got back into it at 33, and I pitched all the way up until 50, until I had to have my labor done. So, I mean, I still love the game. I love it, but maybe because I was on a diamond for so long and the interest in this country with football,
Florida is.
Oh my God. Both pro and college. Go ahead.
I like college better. I'm sorry.
You're a Gator fan.
I am. And I'm sorry about your wife. You know, I just recently lost my pop.
I know you did. I'm sorry, my man.
And, you know, like, see, I'm starting to get a little emotional right now. Just talking about it. Watching the Gators, like when I worked in Tampa during college football season, I would drive over across the state just to watch the Gator games with my pop. And, you know, there's always that bond between father and son when it comes to sports.
Yes.
You know, I have so many great memories. I remember in 96 when the Gators won their first national championship. This is before we even had like cable TV, you know, because we lived down the middle of nowhere. We would have to go to a Gators dockside to watch some of the games that were on cable. And it was when Florida, if you remember in 96, I think Florida and Florida State were 1-2 in the final game of the season. And the Gators ended up losing by 3 points. But we were like, man, all these Seminole fans were just giving us just BS. And then we were like, all right, we're out of it. But then a whole bunch of dominoes had to fall that year for us to be able to get an opportunity to play for a national championship. Because remember, Nebraska got beat in the Big 12 championship, which nobody ever expected then. And then I think Ohio State had to beat Arizona State. That was when Jake Plummer was the QB. And that set up a rematch in the Sugar Bowl. And you know, everybody's a stat person, but the number, I'll never forget that score, 52-20 was the score of Florida beating FSU in that game. And that's always one of those memories that I'm always going to cherish. And I think that's why sports are an important thing to some people, because a lot of people look at sports and they're like, you don't play for them. What interest do you have in them?
But you know what, Tuttle? It's an outlet, you know, with how life goes. And now, especially with the pandemic and what you've been dealing, everything. And it's like, okay, man, it's almost like when you go to the movies, these are 2 hours, 3 hours. It's an escape. And I think we need that. You know what I mean? I think we need that.
Yeah. And you know, I to be able to watch two other national championship games with my pop, that meant a lot. It really did. But I don't know how I'm going to feel this weekend watching that first game, you know.
It'll be tough for you, but you know what? He'll be watching it with you, man. You know, he'll be there.
I am going to the USF game.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. Yeah.
I mean, I think you know what? I got to give it. I mean, that's a big deal for USF, right? I mean, to be able to get the Gators to come to them and play.
Oh, my God. I was on the USF radio network for 2 years, about 2-3 years ago. And it's so funny because I would watch these opposing teams that would come in. And when the kids get off the bus, they go out on the field. They got their headphones on and they're all taking pictures and selfies because it's Raymond James Stadium. It's where the NFL team plays. It's where the national championship was played. You know, they just had the Super Bowl there. So it's so funny. Now, again, these aren't SEC teams. SEC teams are playing in front of 90,000, 100,000 fans. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm talking about Stony Brook. I'm talking about
LSU.
LSU. That's
LSU's got one of the biggest stadiums in, I think, the SEC.
Oh, my God. Go ahead.
No. But so, like, I mean, if USF makes it a game, like, I mean, if they upset the Gators, I mean, that's even bigger. But
that isn't going to happen.
I understand that, but like here, I'll give you an example. Okay.
Yeah.
My dad was our baseball coach growing up, and we used to play this team that they were a bunch of all-star players, and they would just destroy us. We would play a scrimmage game every weekend, but they would destroy us. And then the game started getting closer and closer until we finally beat them one time. And I do think playing better competition raises your level.
Yes, without a doubt, without a doubt. And the thing is, Tuttle, as you well know, like the best high school football talent is always Florida, Texas, California. It doesn't have to be in that order. It's always those three. For the speed guys, for the quarterbacks, for the wide receivers, it's always been like that. And now with the emergence of UCF, you still have USF kind of hanging in there.
What
you
do you
have
think?
FAU. You have FIU. Oh, no, I'm Molson. But I'm just saying, I asked Jeff Scott, who came from Clemson, and I'm like, is there enough talent still to go around? Because Alabama, West Virginia, they recruit out of Florida. And now you have these other schools that are doing pretty good in Florida. But he goes, no, there's enough talent there. No. And yeah, that is going to be very interesting. I was surprised that Gus Malzahn would go to Orlando, would go to UCF after Auburn. But he seems like he's into it.
No. I mean, I've been watching it. I mean, I really think Scott Frost might be regretting going to Nebraska. I mean, you got to go back to your alma mater. But I mean, man, he had a good thing going in UCF.
No, he really did. So, no, college football, that's great. See, I've been on the NFL thing because being here in Tampa with the Buccaneers, with the interest, and especially now, oh my God, I'm over there and watching Brady and seeing all that, having a team with everybody back. So that's why I'm just thankful that I'm actually here and credentialed to be able to be go over there and following the Bucs now. You know what I mean?
It's a great time to be a sports broadcaster in Tampa because, you know, we have 740 The Game over here in Orlando. And one of the guys was talking about how, you know, Orlando, you know, we got the MLS team, we got the Orlando Magic, and, you know, it just seems like every time we get a team to the NBA Finals, they blow the team up, like, left and right. What do you think Tampa is now? Is it a hockey team or a football team or football city? Like, we're if you had to rank the teams in popularity right now, what would you say?
I would say Bucks 1. I would say Lightning 2. And isn't that, I hate to say it, the Rays 3. With the best record in baseball. And
exactly.
No one goes. 6,000 fans against the Red Sox. And oh my God, man.
Do you believe when people say that it's because it's in St. Pete? Do you think that is the reason?
Well, here's what I'm trying to figure out, Tuttle. I've been on this for the last, I don't know, 12 years. We've done specials when I was in TV at Bay News 9, CFN too. I also did, you know, work for them. And nothing has been decided. It's 12 years later. There is something to that because, yes, on the other side of the stadium is water. You know what I mean? So, of course, people got to commute. Here's what I've noticed, Tuttle. Mm-hmm. When I would go early before batting practice, all right, to do some interviews, I get I park in the parking lot at the Trop. When I get there and I see the early birds that are arriving, fans, I would say, look at how many walkers, how many canes that I would count. All right. It's an older audience for baseball. Then I go to the Lightning. I'm the fill-in guy when JP is out on the big board doing in-between periods. And I'm right there in the club level, you know, doing my thing. I come out, it's young, it's hip, it's date night, it's businessmen that are taking their clients out. It's a happening thing to go to. Now, again, once the Lightning are eliminated, like, I don't know how many diehard actual NHL fans there are, but it's more of an event to go to. And then football, you just, you know, fantasy football, you got everyone loves football, whether it's college or NFL.
Yeah. All right. So I had a voicemail from one of my listeners because I can't take phone calls, but somebody posed this question to me. Okay. Would you take an undefeated Bucs season? Because we know Brady made it to a Super Bowl undefeated, ended up losing. I mean, who would ever thought that Eli Manning would have his number on that? But what I'm trying to say, though, is would you take an undefeated season or three Super Bowls in a row? Because no team has ever won three straight Super Bowls.
Oh, I would take the three straight Super Bowls. I would take the three boat parades where they get trashed on the Hillsborough River. That was unbelievable. So I would take that. And the thing is about that 17-0 title, like, oh my God, look, I never thought that Brady, with COVID, with no preseason, they weren't even able to hardly practice, to be able to come in and to have a sorry ass franchise like the Bucs and turn it around and win the Super Bowl in their own stadium in 1 year. I thought that would not have been possible. So he did it. I don't see how you can go 17-0. I really don't. There's injuries, there's factors, there's things like that. It's the NFL. It's the NFL. It's a new year. And everybody is coming for the Bucs. They're not going to sneak up on anybody. They're going to already one of the Dallas Cowboys players, bring on Brady. I'm ready, man. They're going to take it up a notch. So, you know what I'm saying? But I would like to see another boat parade because that was during a pandemic. There was so much COVID going on. That was unbelievable.
Now, all right. So speaking of Brady, I don't know, like, you know, my other and I didn't start following, you know, I have to say this for my American listeners, soccer, yes. But, you know, because I got a lot of people in the UK that listen and they get pissed when I call it soccer, but football. Yeah. I kind of correlate Cristiano Ronaldo going mm-hmm. back to Man United. Everybody's talking about he's too old. He's, you know, he's not what he used to be and stuff. But I mean, I would die to be able to be in the shape that Ronaldo is in right now. And Brady is the same way. And those are the type of guys, like, if you give them some billboard material, like,
yes.
It's going to be fuel. And it's just going to just, like, that's the last thing you want to do.
Let me tell you something. Now, we have not been able to get near the players. You got to be far away. Last year, there were only allowed like 5 or 6 beat writers near. Nobody goes in the building. It's a billion dollar industry. They don't want the players getting it, all that jazz. But I can tell you this. I've been over there. I've talked to the Bucs staff. I've talked to people behind the scenes. Brady, to have all that money, to have a beautiful wife, to have a mansion, to have
great kids,
seven rings, handsome as hell, all that, to still have the drive that he has. He's got his trainer that's right there on the field with him. He drinks so many of these water bottles. You should see the diet that he has. His day is structured out. Like the PR staff said, Tuttle, they get so many calls from former players, whether they're in the media or they have businesses. Hey, put me through to Tom. No, I play with Tom. Tom knows me. They're like, Tom played 23 years. We can't put him through to you. His day is so structured out, man. He, from what he eats, from exercise, from the studying, from the film, he is still driven. He is still driven to practice every day. That's what makes Ronaldo. That's what makes Jordan. Well, that's what makes these greats great, Tuttle.
Did you see during the European championships that Ronaldo, like, Coke's stock dropped because, you know, Coca-Cola was a sponsor and they had Coca-Cola up there and he kept pushing it off the table. And then he just got up and he said, drink more water. And their stock fell.
No, I heard about it. I didn't follow it that close. I didn't know that. Is he another guy that believes in hydrating so much?
Yes.
There's got to be something to it, Tuttle.
He doesn't drink. He doesn't eat. No. And get this. So, you know, the tie into the bugs, you know, with the Glazer family, did you see that when they signed Ronaldo, the traded stock, the Glazer family made over $228 million on the stock just from him signing.
God. Oh my. You know, they were hated over there.
Oh no, I've been to the United. I've talked to them. Now, this is when the Bucks were doing really, really bad after the first Super Bowl. I went over probably 2011. And if you ever see a Manchester United fan wearing a yellow and green scarf, they're anti-Glazer. They hate the family I've talked to them. They're like, oh, they only care about the NFL football team. And I was like, they were like, oh, they put all their money in the NFL team. I was like, have you watched any of their games lately? they're kind of not. But if you've been to an NFL game, to go to a Premier League game in England at Old Trafford, where it seats 95,000 people and they're all standing the whole time, they're all singing in unison. Even if you're not a soccer fan, you can just feel the electricity and the energy.
That's awesome. That is awesome. That's awesome. But it's just interesting to see, because I've been covering sports and I was a national TV reporter. It was called FNN Financial News Network on weekdays, and then weekends it was FNN Sports. I traveled. I was the East Coast reporter out of New York, anything from Denver, Colorado over. I got to interview Michael Jordan. I was with the Bears.
Really?
But my point is, what I've noticed, Tuttle, is two things. Mm-hmm. Those that are at the top of their profession, whether it's entertainment or sports, pro sports, the ones that are at the top and have been at the top for a long time, number one, they're not jerks. They're not assholes. Number two, they're just driven, like practice, like the journey to get to the big game. That's what I've noticed. Brady is one of those. Michael Jordan was like that. You were in his presence and it's like, whoa, it's just, it almost takes you back. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Is it true that after Brady or the Bucks won the NFC championship, like Brady got into one of the players' ass about, like, we haven't won shit yet? Of that sort?
Oh, what it was is, Tuttle, is there's no, in the, here we are 2021. There's a camera everywhere, there's recording everywhere. There's no recording of this. No, he gave a pregame speech for the Super Bowl. Some of the players told me it would give you chills. He was like, we are winning this game. This will change your life. This will change your family's life. We will come back years later. Nobody takes it away. You're the top of the heap at the Super Bowl. They said it was unbelievable. And Brady had never given a speech to the team the whole year. He waited till the perfect moment. He knows what he's doing. They said they would. Look what they did to Mahomes, man. The Kansas City Chiefs. It was unbelievable. Yeah. But you pick your spots. It's almost like you can't cry wolf too much. You know what I mean?
You were talking about, you know, not being assholes and stuff. But I know I watched that Last Dance documentary. And I got to tell you, though, Jordan, I think I'm not saying he's a bad person, but I think you kind of got to be a little bit of a dick to be a winner. Like, you have to be selfish, you know?
Yes, I agree with you.
Look at Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs with Apple. They said Steve Jobs was one of the biggest assholes in the world. No, I'm just being honest.
No, that's good. But well, I'm just saying, I have seen some people that have made it to the top, but have not stayed there, and have been a jerk and have been an asshole. Usually the ones that are there for a long time, even broadcasters, they're usually pretty good people. So you know what I'm saying? No, Jordan at times was an asshole. He was an asshole. He was good to me. I had one time I was doing a specific feature on a player from the New Jersey Nets, and that's why I was allowed into the training room back in the day. He was getting taped up. I had my camera guy with me. And I said, I'm here doing a story on Buck Williams. He goes, oh, Bucky, let me tell you about old Buck. And it was cool. I was doing it on that. It was a specific feature. Now you can't walk into a training room now with a camera or a microphone. The access is so different now. Things have changed.
It's funny. When I worked with Drew Garabo in Orlando, we would broadcast once a week from the Orlando Magic games, but we could not comment about what was going on the floor because somebody else had the broadcasting right. So we would come up with creative ways, how many hot dogs do you think they've eaten today? Oh, 69 to, such a time. You know, we would do that, but I used to get to go down into the locker room and they would let us go interview people live on the air and stuff. And it was very, very interesting. I want to talk about something. You were talking about the NBA and I've debated a lot of my guests on this. Could the players today, like the superstars, play in the type of basketball that was played in the 90s?
Hey, you know what, Tuttle? It's the same thing for football. They're not used to the physicality. They're flopping. It is softer. It's a different time. Just like John Lynch, who made the Pro Football Hall of Fame as a hard-hitting safety. He would be banned. He'd be thrown out. He couldn't.
My dad said Atwood was one of the hardest-hitting safeties back in the day.
Your dad was right on. He was a bad mofo. No doubt about it. No doubt about it, Tuttle. So no, what rules? All right. I'm glad you're bringing that up. So no, you can't
hand check anymore in the NBA.
No. I hate going back with a football analogy, but only because they had the Pro Football Hall of Fame a couple weeks ago. They had the game. And so the Bucks flew up because John Lynch was going in and they flew up, a whole plane full of former players that play with him and this and that and this and that. So these guys got together. They had a big party in Canton. They were partying. They were drinking. They were getting buzzed. And they started going around. Man, the 2004 Buccaneer team, could they beat this Brady team that beat the Kansas City Chiefs? And Booger McFarland, who it did not work out on Monday Night Football, but ESPN still loves Booger. Booger had a good line. He goes, what rules are we playing? Are we playing in 2004 rules? Are we playing in the rules today? Because that Buccaneer team won with defense. Sapp and Lynch, Rondé, Simeon.
What was the better defense, the Ravens or the Bucs Super Bowl winning team?
Because I was also at that. I was at that Super Bowl, and I interviewed those Ravens guys. Oh, my God. You know what? You can make an argument for either one. They were so damn good, both of them. Ray Lewis. Oh.
Now, you want to talk about a guy that can make you want to run through a brick wall.
All right. Ray Lewis, Polk County. So we're getting close to where you are in Volusia County.
Well, so. I stop at the Polk County line just because of Grady Judd, the sheriff there.
Right. Yeah.
I check all my lights, make sure everything's going because I don't even want to get pulled over in Polk County. That's the type of place it is.
That's like the speed trap when you're going up, what's that one town or whatever. You got to be sure they nail everybody. But here's my Ray Lewis story. So okay. a couple of years ago on the MC for the Polk County Hall of Fame. So Ray Lewis was getting inducted. He was the last guy that was going to speak. He was the big guy. He grew up in Lakeland area, So they said he's flying in from New York. He may be late depending on his plane. All right. So blah, blah, blah. So I'm emceeing. I'm going through everybody that's getting in. I'm calling up everybody. Blah, 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 blah. No Ray Lewis. No Ray Lewis. No Ray Lewis. We're getting towards the end of the program. Here's Ray Lewis. He walks in the door. He's in the back. Now I'm doing the intro for Ray Lewis, where he grew up. A lot of times it means
you don't want to mess that one up though.
Oh, right. So get this, Tuttle. I'm reading off my thing. And I'm going, and Ray did this, and Ray this and that, and the University of Miami, and then Ray this, and Ray that. And now let's welcome the 2017 inductee, Ray Lewis. He comes walking up. He comes up to the podium. He shakes my hand. Oh my God, he is so strong. He's squeezing it.
I have a story about a handshake by another football player, but I'll let you finish.
Okay, so I'm finishing. And he shakes it real hard, right? And he looks at me and he's like, outstanding. And I was like, damn.
That had to be a great moment for you, though. Oh.
Like, and he was still playing. He was just injured that year. It was the year he was like his last year. So he's in great shake. And Tuttle, I hit him. I, you know, did the handshake and I didn't want to, I squeezed back, but I'm like, damn, he is strong. And I hit him on the arm. It was like hitting a cement. Yeah. It was like hitting cement. And I was like, boom. So that's my Ray Lewis story. But go, what's your handshake story?
All right. So me and Bubba Love Sponge, we went to the Daytona 500. He had an RV there. And do you know whose RV was parked next to us? And he was on the original Bucs Super Bowl winning team. I just want to see if you think.
Let me see. Maybe Derek.
He played on offense. I'll tell you on offense. It was offense.
On offense. Oh my.
It was all Stott.
Oh, A-Train.
Dude, can I tell you, his forearms were like my thighs. Like, he is just a, I mean, he's just built differently.
And you know what Dave Moore told me too? What made him so good, Tuttle, yes, so strong and all this, was his balance. He said that what they would do is screw around at practice before they're, you know, getting ready to practice. And they're kind of hanging out, blah, 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 blah. They get behind you, just like when you're in grammar school. And one guy will get down behind you and then they will push you so you will fall over like another guy. And they could never do it to Allstott. Even if they went up behind him and they pushed him over, his balance, he would catch himself on with his palm. Like,
was it a low center of gravity he had?
I don't know. I don't know. I just think it's a God given talent. Like, his
I never
balance.
Saw him lose a yard. Like, he always fell forward. He always fell forward, no matter what.
He was great. Good dude.
You know, the thing about Bubba, he was actually worried a little bit at the time about Allstott being there, because at the time they were writing a lot of parody songs about
Manson. It was unbelievable. I remember that at that time.
And,
yeah.
And they were talking about, you know, him being dumb and all this stuff. And Bubba was like, I haven't seen Allstott since these parody songs have been written. But it was great. I mean, it was great. And I got to tell you, I mean, the dude, I saw him kill a case of beer pretty much before the end of the night. And like, it was like, did not even affect him at all. Like, seriously.
When he came in from Purdue, he was a rookie. Can you imagine being like 22 years old, in incredible shape, on top of the world? I saw him at a place walking around with a pitcher of beer, and that was like his mug.
Well, I'm trying to figure out. My dad, you know, me and my dad grew up Dolphins fans, and I know that we're going really, really long here. So if you got to go, let me know.
No, I'm cool.
Who was the big fullback for the 72 Dolphins?
There was Zonka and there was Kick.
Zonka.
Jim Kick and Larry Zonka. Yeah.
My dad said Zonka used to say that he did not even start. He would play harder once he would get blood on his jersey. He didn't care if it was his or somebody else's. And they said Zonka was just a beast back then, too.
They used to train at, it was called St. Thomas College. It was down in the Miami area.
St. Thomas Aquinas, probably.
Okay, maybe that was what it was. Because when I first got into being a national reporter on TV, so I was just into it, and I went down and I did training camps. And I remember, you know, Don Shula was the head coach, and the great quarterback. Oh, my God, I love Dan Marino. And I remember going down there, and all of a sudden, I went through like a gate, and there was a pool. And Dan Marino was in it by himself. Nobody was around. And he was just like doing a little, like maybe rehab. You know what I mean? It's easy. And I said, hey, how you doing? He goes, hey, how's it going, man? Where are you from? And I'm like, oh, I'm with FNN, man. I'm here to do a story on you guys today. He goes, oh, that's cool. And I'm like, look at this. Like, I'm just saying, the access back in the day was, you know, and then Don Shula came out, do a one-on-one with him. And those were some great times. And being in the state of Florida, going back like with your dad, the Dolphins were around before the Bucs, and then later came the Jaguars. So it's like you still have a lot of old school Dolphins fans in Tampa and Orlando, especially more in our Central Florida than you would. You know what I mean? Bucks and Jets.
Speaking of the Dolphins, why do you, I think he is getting so disrespected. Why is Zach Thomas not in the Hall of Fame yet?
That's a good one.
I mean, his numbers match. His numbers match with Urlacher. The guy was all over the place, and he was not the biggest of middle linebackers,
right?
If you know what I'm saying, but he just was a student of the game.
Yeah, I, you know what? It took Lynch, I think, 7 tries. Sometimes, Tuttle, it depends who you're going in against.
Do they have a limit like Major League Baseball does?
Yeah, they have a certain amount, and they also now they have at least split it to where it's former like coaches or a legends. They have a certain category, so that helps. But it depends if you got a certain amount of defensive ends that are going in. Is it a first ballot guy? Is it? So I think eventually he's going to get in. I would hope so.
He's got the stats, right?
He's all of it.
All right. I want to end this on baseball. I played high school. I did play community college baseball.
Yeah.
One of my highlights, you know, Chipper Jones's dad was my math coach.
Math teacher,
but also baseball coach as well, too.
Okay.
And you know, Chipper ended up going to a private school up in Jacksonville.
Didn't he go to Bulls? Yeah.
He went to Bulls. He came back to play an alumni baseball game. It was one of the greatest times. This is when I was still playing in school. And he hit a homer off of me, and it was like, and he was using a wooden bat. The stuff went over the driver's head range because that was out in right field. And awesome. You know what? I was like, I could always say I had a big leaguer hit a dinger off of me.
That's awesome.
It was great, man. And I grew up a Braves fan because, you know,
sure.
PBS, you either back then, because baseball wasn't covered nationwide, you had WGN with the Cubs, or you had TBS with the Braves. Is the Braves rotation that they had in the 90s the best rotation of all time?
Oh, they've got to be.
You had Maddox, Glavine, Smoltz, Avery. People forget about Avery. You had
Leo Mazzoni.
Yeah, great pitching coach. He would rock Mazzoni.
And they would all play golf together, and they were tight. And each one was good. That was one of the all-time greats, Tuttle. That was great.
Could you imagine if you had the pitching mind? Because Maddox could remember every pitch he had ever thrown to somebody, like how he got him out. If you put the brain of Maddox into like a Randy Johnson or something.
Here's my Maddox story real quick. At the end of his career, I think at the time he's with the San Diego Padres, and he was just kind of at the end. And they were playing the Rays at Tropicana Field. And I said, you know what? I'm going in the visiting locker room. I want to get some sound from Maddox. And we go over to Maddox's locker, comes out. All right,
Was he wearing the glasses?
Wearing the glasses and standing there. And Tuttle, this is after a Hall of Fame career. And you know what he was talking about? He was like, well, you know what? I was working on this pitch in spring training, and then it kind of left me. I think I'm getting it back. I'm really trying to work on it. And I'm like, oh my God, this guy's a Hall of Famer. Yet he was still at 84, 83 miles an hour, painting the black, still trying to work on another pitch. That's why he's a Hall of Famer, man.
One of the two most impressive games, and I promise this is the last couple of questions. Yeah. Watching games with my dad, I remember it was one of the days where we got out early in school. You know, they would have half days.
Yeah.
And we came home, and a pitcher, a little known, unknown pitcher at the time, he was a rookie, Kerry Wood, was pitching against the Houston Astros. And I got to watch that game from beginning to end with my mom. And that was maybe one of the best pitching performances I had ever seen in a game. What did you ever get a chance to watch that game?
Was that the, didn't he have 20 strikeouts? 21,
yeah, it was 20 strikeouts.
It was unbelievable. He was unhittable. He threw so hard. His stuff is.
And his slider.
Another one, man. Always liked him. No bullshit. Just out there. A battler, man.
Mm-hmm. And one last thing. And the other most impressive game I saw Greg Maddux pitch a complete game shutout and only threw 82 pitches the entire game. No, I mean, a lot of people aren't big baseball fans and they're what's the big deal about only throwing 82 pitches?
Oh my God. And it keeps your fielders on their toe, the balls of their feet. They're sharper. Nobody hates it when every count is going long counts. You know what I mean? No, I love that. I knew an umpire, Jim McKean. He passed away probably 2 years ago. He ended up being an umpiring supervisor. I became friends with him. And he would be like, back in the day, Tuttle, before they had Quest-Tech and all this with the umpire, if an ump like Maddux, if he's painting the black and he's painting it, he'll tell the hitter, look, it's on the black. It's a little bit outside. You better swing.
Consistent. They call it both ways. If you call it both ways, then you know that. I mean, every umpire is going to be a little bit different. I mean, that's just the way that it is. Man, I could sit here and talk to you all day. Even though I play the nerd character, I do know things about sports. You know,
I could tell, man.
I love it. You know, I know I said one last thing. Emory Jones, and I promise, final question.
Yes.
How does he do? You know, he's been very, very patient when there's a lot of quarterbacks that are going into the transfer portal.
Yep.
I so hope that he does an amazing job.
He 6'2", the size, the dual threat. He's got a great arm. Now, okay. The USF quarterback, they announced the start, Cade Fortin. He's transferred around, blah, blah, blah. I didn't realize it. I'm over there the other day for a press conference, and it was brought up. Do you know that Emory Jones, Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence, and this kid, Cade Fortin, were all out of the state of Georgia with the same high school class? They all came out the same. Emory Jones with Trevor Lawrence, who's now going to start with Justin Fields, who's playing in the league, and Emory Jones, same time. And they were all rated the same coming out of high school, out of Georgia. So the kid has waited his time. Dan Mullen, it's a revamped offense.
I mean, he gets the best out of his quarterbacks, though.
He does. He's a good
look. What he did with Trask.
Hell, I mean, 41 points. They averaged 41 points a game, man, in 11 SEC games last year.
Do you think Trask training and learning under Brady, he could be the quarterback for the Bucs one day?
You know what? It's hard to tell. Hey, they had a guy, Johnson. They just released him. He's been the backup for a long time. He doesn't have to be the man. He's in a perfect situation. I like him. I've said hello to him a couple of times. He walks out. He gets there early. He stays late. He's got a good arm, and he doesn't have to play. He's probably going to be number three if there's an injury. So we'll see. We'll see, Tuttle.
Does Jameis come back to bite the Bucks in the ass? I know I keep saying final, but like I said, I'm enjoying this conversation with you so much.
It's going to be great to see, isn't it?
Even being a Gators fan, I've always been a fan of Jameis, even though he's made some dumb decisions throughout his life.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, besides all the interceptions, I mean, he threw for a bunch of yards that one year. I don't know. I think that could come back to, you know, I don't know how you feel about.
Oh, it's going to be fantastic. Two times against the Saints. Thing about it is, Tuttle, with the Hurricane Ida, they're not going to be able to play in New Orleans. It might even be 4 or 5 games into the season where they can play. They don't have any power. They're looking now. Are they going to play in California? Are they going to play in Dallas? So that's a factor for the Saints. I feel for them there. But him against Brady, that's going to be huge. How about Cam Newton gets released? Now it's going to be Brady going back. Belichick, Mac Jones, the rookie out of Alabama. How about that? It's going to be a great football season.
I think it will be too. Now, they are playing an extra game this season, right?
Yes, 17 regular season games.
And one's going to be on neutral site, right, though? I mean, because you would have to add two games to make it fair, right? I mean, I don't know how that it's going to work out. If you're only adding one game, that means somebody's going to be playing more away games or home games.
Yes, yes. It's not going to be totally uniform for every single team. That's the way the cookie crumbles, man. But they're seeing cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. One more regular season game title.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Brock, I hope you enjoyed this conversation.
Oh, I did. And I've been following you from when you started in your car and then out on where the boats go by and then with the no air conditioning and then with your little setup now and your live stream. No, you've been grinding. I appreciate it, man.
Well, it's a big honor, man, because you know, radio is one of those businesses where, you know, everybody has something bad to say about somebody in the business. It's a weird business, but I've never heard a bad word about you. That's why I always wanted to have you on the show.
And that's the show for today. Thanks for listening to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hey, don't be a dickhead. Do us a favor. Like, share, and subscribe to the show. Also, check out the Tuttle category at 315live.com. The Tuttle Daily Podcast is brought to you by Starfire Transport, StitchYouUp.com, and PocketPairClub.com. Special thanks to show producer Vulture and co-host Sirach. Show voiceover service is brought to you by JCVoiceover.com and The Little Cheese Show. Download and subscribe to The Little Cheese Show everywhere podcasts are found. If you want to help support the show, go to paypal.me/Tuttle on the radio. You have something you want to say? Tuttle@gmail.com or leave a voicemail at 407-270-3044. To follow all Tuttle's social media, go to Tuttle.net. That's Tuttle with two D's .net. Thanks again for all your support, and we'll see you tomorrow on the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
I get ignorant in normal situations.
What? What you mean?
What the fuck you mean?
What are you talking about?
Nigga, what the fuck is you talking about?
Oh, shit.